Oklahomans have more access to weather information than ever before, but that's not always the case for people who don't speak English. And communicating severe weather threats is particularly difficult in Guymon, a town with at least 37 different languages. KGOU's Jacob McClelland reports.
Gala So and his family sit in their living room watching his infant daughter play with bright plastic balls on a colorful mat. Photographs of family members line the walls of their trailer.
Because my dad, every year he tried to take a picture for a memory.
Gala So and his family are originally from Myanmar. They're members of the Karen ethnic group. They fled persecution in their home country and spent a decade in a refugee camp in Thailand. Gala So says there was little work in the camp. Food was scarce and the water was dirty.
That's why, you know, me and my family were really happy that we get to come to the United States so for a better life.
Gala So's family resettled in Connecticut, and after a few years, they moved to Guymon. They came here to work in the Seaboard pork processing plant. The family had never experienced the kinds of weather extremes that occur here in Oklahoma's panhandle. Summers are hot and dry, winters can bring blizzards and single-digit temperatures, and strong winds can spread wildfires. Springtime is tornado season.
We live in mobile home, you know, it's not really safe, so I would say that if we have a tornado, we probably have to go to our church, because our church would be a lot safer than the house that we live in, you know.
Sitting next to Gala So is his sister, Apri, and their parents. Apri asks her parents in Karen how they get ready for severe weather.
They don't really prepare because they don't know, because we only waiting for, like, pastor to tell us, like, oh, it's tornado coming, go there, do this stuff.
That pastor is Mark Westcote, a Lutheran minister. Many of the Karen families here go to his church.
So if you've got an announcement on the radio or over the television, they wouldn't have a clue what it was.
Westcote does a lot of things to assist Karen who come to Guymon. He helps them with immigration paperwork and takes them to the doctor. And if a bad storm is brewing or a wildfire is approaching, he sends messages on social media to young Karen.
They're becoming much more social media savvy, and they're able to share this with their parents.
Karen are not the only people who moved to Guymon from other countries. 37 different languages are spoken in the school in a town of fewer than 12,000 people. English and Spanish are the most common, but then after that, it's Tigrinya, a language spoken in Ethiopia, and then various languages from Myanmar. Julie Edenborough is the director of migrant services at Guymon Public Schools.
Just normal communication is complicated. And I do have concerns when there's emergencies that we don't have the communication that we need.
A few years ago, not long after the first refugees from Myanmar arrived, a strong blizzard hit Guymon. Classes were called off, but some of the children from Myanmar didn't know.
They waited at the bus stop in 30-mile-an-hour wind with the wind chill, maybe even close to 20 below, for the bus to show up, and school had been canceled.
Now, English language teachers call each home whenever school is canceled.
That's kind of above and beyond the teacher's responsibility, but that's all we could do.
Guymon isn't the only community on the Great Plains with large numbers of refugees and immigrants. Towns like Garden City and Liberal, Kansas, and Lexington, Nebraska, have also experienced an influx of foreign workers after meatpacking plants opened up shop. Translation is a tricky process. Dennis Andrulis is a researcher at the Texas Health Institute and a professor at the University of Texas School of Public Health.
You can't just cookie cutter a message and say, oh, I'll take this message in English and translate it to Somali.
Andrulis says he was once part of a group giving a presentation on HIV and AIDS prevention to a Hasidic community in Brooklyn. The materials were translated into Hebrew, but the local rabbi said it wouldn't work because they considered it offensive.
So the person from the government said, but we translated it. And the person from the Jewish community, Hasidic community, said, but we won't read it.
Andrulis says officials need to develop trust with these communities and to engage them to figure out what's culturally acceptable and what's not.
The churches and schools and other community-based organizations, they're the ones who know. And they're the ones who will also help gain that trust. Now, if you try to do it from a remove from government officials, you're likely to run into quite a bit of resistance on the part of the communities.
Mark Westcote, the Lutheran pastor, says he's a good intermediary. For the Karen refugees in Guymon, he's a familiar, friendly face.
I do have an element of trust. They know that I joke a lot, but it's a matter, they trust me. I guess that's it. They do trust me.
And it's that trust that can help save families stay out of harm's way. For KGOU, I'm Jacob McClelland.
Support for this story was provided by the Weather Eye Award, an award given to local reporters by Rise Local, a project of New America's national network.